thankful for the presence of each and every one of you. Again, I commend you for being here and taking the time and the opportunity that God has blessed you with to assemble together all the way around the room. It's good to see each and every one of you. I know I'm always encouraged to be with those of like precious faith, and it's good to be with you, and it's certainly good to have visitors with us. We thank you for being here, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. I appreciate the good feedback from the sermon this morning. It was encouraging to me. Some of you had mentioned, as I solicited some scripture from you on an upcoming sermon on some commonly misused passages, some had commented that they have some to give to me, and I appreciate that. And so I look forward to having those references. I want us to think about the title that I've put on the board before you, Those Who Cannot Be Saved. Some individuals cannot be saved unless they make some changes. And we need to know that. Of course, not everyone is going to be saved. We know that from a host of passages in the Bible, that the few are those who will find the straight and the narrow way the Lord talked about in Matthew 7, 13 and 14. The vast majority of people are going to be lost. I wish that that wasn't the case. I wish that I could stand before you tonight and tell you that everybody is going to be saved. But not everybody's going to. I wish that they would be saved, but that's not the case. Even religiously minded individuals are not going to be saved. I shared with you a passage, I think it was last Sunday morning, one that we've looked at before, Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, when Paul makes a statement concerning his kinsmen in the flesh. When he said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And so, a lot of folks are not going to be saved. And sometimes, as I mentioned in the lesson this morning, sometimes folks along the way, they say, as we talked about, don't judge this morning, that kind of catch-all phrase that people in the religious world use, they say, "Don't judge me." And sometimes they say, "Well, you think that only the members of the Church of Christ are going to be saved." Well, I tell people without hesitation that there are members of the Church of Christ who are not going to be saved. And so we understand that we can obey the gospel and then fall from it. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, a lot of passages talk about that. Jesus shed His blood for everybody. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, John 3:16, and Matthew 26:26 through 28, and a lot of other scriptures talk about the fact that Jesus died, tasted death for everybody. Everybody that is able and willing can obey the gospel. But there's a lot of people who are not going to be saved. And I want to share some of those with you. And the first one that I want to talk with you about is the fact that those who do not believe the truth cannot be saved. I told you, except they make some changes. Now, they can come to a knowledge of the truth and obey, but they're not going to be saved except they believe what the Bible teaches. In our scripture reading, I appreciate Ray doing the good job he did in reading the scripture from the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 16 through 24. Very simple. It's pointed out, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto who? For it is a power of God unto salvation to all that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek or the Gentile." You've got to believe. If you don't believe, you won't be saved. You see that point? Isn't that simple? I appreciate again the comments from the lesson this morning, but we talked about simple things. Most of what we read in the New Testament is by and large simple things. We've got to believe it. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You have to believe. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must" what? "Must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." If you don't believe the gospel, if you don't believe the truth, you cannot be saved except you believe it. But also, I want to share several more with you. Individuals who cannot be saved. Next one, those who do not desire it. You would like to think that everybody wants to be saved. Well, not everybody does. Some people just want to be left alone. They don't believe what you believe. They don't believe what I believe. They don't believe what the Bible says. And they'd just be fine if you just never knock on their door. They don't desire it because they don't believe that heaven is real, that hell exists. You can pick up the bulletin and I say there's a very good article written about has heaven and hell changed, but Seal did do a good job on that, but it's not in this week's bulletin. Still pick up the bulletin and read the article that he did. That'd be in an upcoming bulletin. But there's a lot of folks that don't believe in heaven and hell. They don't desire it because they don't see that there's a need for it because they don't believe in all that, quote, stuff that Christian people believe in. Well, if you don't desire to be saved, you're not going to be saved. I think about Acts chapter 2 when Peter was preaching to the Jews on that occasion. I don't know how many people were present on that day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. I don't know. But Peter preached the gospel to them. And a good number of them obeyed. I've never had about 3,000 people respond to any gospel sermon that I've preached. And you probably haven't either, but the apostles did. He preached to them about Jesus and he told them that they had crucified the Son of God and they wanted to know what they had to do. In Acts 2, verse 37, Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission, the remittal, the removing of your sins." With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourself from this untoward generation," verse 40. Then the Bible says in verse 41 that they that gladly received his word, you know what that implies? That there were some who did not receive the word. But they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Acts 2 and then verse 41. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 42. And so, if you don't desire to be saved like they desire to be saved, you won't be saved. Again, Acts chapter 13, as Paul and Barnabas went out on these missionary journeys. We refer to them as, but they went out on these traveling events to spread the gospel, to proclaim the gospel to those in various places. But some did not desire to heed the message. And so in Acts chapter 13, verse 44, beginning, the Bible says, "The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." By the way, blaspheming has the idea of speaking against. We'll talk about that, Lord, when we talk about blaspheming the Holy Spirit in our study when the time comes. "And Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it far from you," now watch this, "and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." That would have been a good passage, by the way, to have talked about this morning when we talked about judging. Folks say, "Well, don't judge me." You know, you can judge yourself. These people did not want to hear it. They were contradicting those things, blaspheming or speaking against those things. And Paul says, "Seeing you put it from you," they put it from them. It was available. Paul was there to preach it. "But you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life while we turn to the Gentiles. Except you desire to have it, you won't be saved." But also, those who refuse God's will. Some people refuse God's will. Maybe they've heard the gospel over and over and over, but they refuse to do what God says to do. Me and Bernice were talking just before the service that there's constant reminders around us of the brevity of life and the need to be prepared to leave. Think about all the reminders in our recent days of the brevity of life. Isn't that constant reminders to don't leave life unprepared? Get yourself ready in the sight of the Lord. And she made this statement, which is true, that it happens every day. People leave every day. Depart this life every day unprepared. And you know what is so sad about that? Is it's unnecessary. Folks don't have to leave this life unprepared. In 2 Thessalonians, beginning in chapter 1 with verse 6, passage that you know so well, and we've talked about all these passages. Someone made the statement a little while back. They said, I follow along with you, and every passage you give me is one I've already highlighted in my Bible. That's good. The constant reminders. We need to be reminded. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 beginning, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. To you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. Who's He going to take vengeance on? That know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who refuse to do it. Those who don't know Him and those who obey not. That would include individuals, by the way, who've heard gospel sermons, but they refuse to do anything about it. I think about the Lord's statement in Matthew 7, 26 and 27 when He talked about two builders. A wise builder and a foolish builder. You know who the foolish builder was? Verses 26 and 27. The one that heard and yet did not obey. Did not do those things. Like a foolish man built his house upon the sand and the rains came, the floods and so forth, and beat upon that house and it fell and great was the fall of it. And we've got to understand, we've got to want, desire to be saved and to be right in the sight of God. If you don't, you're not going to be saved. And if you refuse to do His will, you will not be saved. But also, number four, those who will not depart from iniquity. I remember seeing a tract a good number of years ago. I may still have a copy of it. I'm not sure. That was simply titled, Repentance, the Most Difficult Command. It probably is, would make the cut to be among the most difficult of commands. Because it's not always easy. It's not always easy to depart from what we know we've got to depart from if we're going to be right in the sight of God. But if we do not depart from iniquity, we cannot be saved. God will save us from our sin, not save us in our sin. In other words, cannot stay in your sin and be saved. You've got to come out of your sin by obeying the gospel. We cannot think that we can continue to do the things that we've always done and it's okay. It's not okay. In Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, Jesus teaches us about repentance. When some evidently in His day had thought that sin was directly tied to suffering was directly tied to the sin of an individual. And sometimes while that may be the case, it's not always the case. And the Lord set that straight in Luke 13, verse 1. There were present at that season some that told Him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Sometimes people ask today, well, why does all this suffering happen? Do you think that they were more sinful than other people because they are going through these things? I tell you, the Lord said, verse 3, Nay, but except you repent, ye shall likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell, and they slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. People have asked me, what do you think about COVID-19 and all this? Why do you think all this is happening? Don't you think it's a result? Don't you think God is sending? I don't know what makes people think that I'm privy to the behind the scenes. I don't know why things happen except God's book says why it happens. Someone says, well, you read in the Old Testament about pestilence, sword, and famine that came upon God's people because of their sin. Absolutely. You read that. Do you know how I know that that was a result of their own doing? Because the book says so. Regardless of why, we are in the midst of this pandemic and this COVID-19, that whether it's slowing down, rising again, going to flare up again, I don't know. I have no clue. But I know this much. This life is brief and we better be ready. Amen. That's a constant reminder. Whether it's the virus or some other thing that is the reason why we depart from this life, we better be ready. We've got to depart from iniquity. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Repent and be converted when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Repent and be baptized, Peter said, for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Why? Acts 17, 30. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath before ordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. Acts 17, 31. There's a judgment day coming. And if me, or if I, if you, if others, will not depart from iniquity, heaven will not be our home. By the way, have you departed from it? Have you repented of your sins, obeyed the gospel? You'll have opportunity to do that in just a little while. But also, those who cannot be saved, those who trust in themselves. Some people trust in themselves. They think they're just good the way they are. I've studied with at least a few people that I can recall that at the end of the study, they just look at me and say, I'm good. What do you mean I'm good? I suppose they mean I'm good just the way I am. I don't see the need to do anything. I feel like I'm okay. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said that many would say, Lord, Lord, or actually, the Lord said in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Or many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils in thy name and done many wonderful works in thy name. You can't trust in yourself. We read about good people in the Bible, but we're in need of having the message of truth preached to them. I think about Cornelius. He was a good man. So far as we would count goodness, but he wasn't saved. In Titus chapter 3 and then verse 5, we are dependent upon God for salvation, not upon self. Paul says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. You can't trust in yourself. Also, those who are careless. I mentioned to you this morning, Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. In verse 13, the Lord said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, verse 14, they be bond leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, what's going to happen? You just heard that just a few hours ago. Both shall fall into the ditch. Don't be careless. We sing a song sometimes, a great invitation hymn, careless soul, why will you linger? Some folks are careless in the sense they'll believe everything they're told. They won't go to the book and check it out. Got a sermon almost completed on a very simple title, why do people just not get it? And I want to share with you some reasons why it is not that they don't get it. I want to share with you some reasons why it is that they don't get it. And one of them is they don't study at the expense of ruin and lightning on one of those points. They don't study. Why? Because it takes time, it takes effort to look into the book and to see what the book says. Don't be careless. Don't be like, as Paul would talk about in Ephesians 4:14, that we're not Henceforth to be like children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and then verse 6, these things, brethren, I have been a figure transferred myself into Apollos for your sakes, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. And no one of you be puffed up for one against another. Folks, today we'll latch on to the teaching of men, even when it contradicts what the book says. Don't do that. Doesn't matter if it's me or all the way around the room, all of us. And stand up before you. What is written settles the matter. Don't be careless. Galatians 1, 6 through 9, you can write that down and read it later. We won't turn there and read it, but Paul talks about, though someone else preaches to them some other gospel than what they had received, or though an angel come down from heaven. Paul says, let him be accursed. That means given up. I like that word anathema in the King James Version. Given over, given up under the wrath, destruction of God. Let him be accursed. Don't be careless. Number 7, two more points. Who cannot be saved? Those who hate their brethren. In 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And then verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Now watch this. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Hate can be a terrible thing, to say the least. It can do things with you that you would not normally do otherwise. It will, in essence, consume you. Consume your thoughts, your heart, your life, your action. And it will rob you of the one thing of which we've been talking about tonight. And that is salvation. Who cannot be saved? Those who hate their brother. In 1 John chapter 3 and then verse 15. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Well, preacher, I thought you said that you can't be saved if you hate your brother. Read that verse again. You're a murderer if you hate your brother. And then he says, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. John 13, 34 and 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciple. You are my disciples. If you have love one toward another. Don't hate others. Don't hate your enemies. Don't hate your brethren. I understand. Some folks just want to be left alone. They just want a voice. I don't hate so-and-so. I just want to be left alone. Okay. Don't let hatred consume you. Last point. Those who are children. Well, preacher, why on earth would you take the time to talk about those who are children? Well, there's people in the religious world today who think that children are not safe. They're not safe. That they're in need of being saved. The Bible won't allow that. 2 Samuel 12, verse 23, David lost his son. He said, I can't bring him back, but I can what? I can go where he's at. Someone said, oh, he's just talking about the grave. Well, obviously it died. But then you look at Matthew 18, 1 through 3. Some brought some children to Jesus. The disciples forbid them. Jesus said, suffer the little children. That means allow them. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. That whosoever except a man humble himself and become like this little child, he shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. The Lord's saying, except you be like a sinful, depraved, born in sin child? No, because they have no sin. Can I be saved from the sins that they don't have sin to be saved from? And I want you to get that point.